What's up, everybody? It's your old friend, John Middlecoff. I'm here to tell you about our friends at Game Time. Here's what I need you to do. Go to your smartphone, download a little app called Game Time. Baseball season's in full swing. Oracle Park. Been there a million times. Never doesn't live up to the hype. Go get yourself some garlic fries, a brewski, maybe some ice cream. They have very good Ghirardelli ice cream there. And when you do that, promo code HAM. So download the Game Time app. Your first pair of tickets, promo code HAM, H-A-M, save $20. The A's, only going to be in the Bay Area for the rest of this season. You probably can basically go for free. Just buy a pair of tickets to any baseball game. They also have comedy shows if you want to check one of those out, or concerts. Game Time app, promo code HAM, save yourself $20. We don't even need a thank you. Just hammer that promo code.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Middlecoff!
Hey, me! Hey!
Big baseball pod coming up this week.
Oh,
what are you gonna? Yeah. What do you got planned for 8-game Wednesday?
Same thing I did on the 4-game Tuesday. Just sit around and
pop a Camino, ride the bike.
Yeah, you know, watch a couple football games on my iPad, gamble on a couple baseball games, lose some money, and call it a day.
Nothing like not watching a baseball game for 58 games and then making some bets on Tuesday like you did.
Absolutely moronic guy. And then because I was already invested, I was like, when they got down 3-0, I'm like, well, you know, the magical A's, maybe they just pull this off. You could live bet them at like 5-1. So I was like, you know, I'll throw like $60 to win, you know, like $350.
Well, this was at the point in time where a perfect game was being thrown against them.
Yeah, this was probably like the fifth inning when he was really humming. But again, I wasn't that locked into the game either. I'd peek up and he'd fucking blow another guy away. I'd be like, you know, I'll just check the live odds. It was honestly, I'd made $1,800 basically the last 2 days in betting on the Chiefs and the Packers. Mm. I was feeling myself. Had some extra profits.
Two underdogs, by the way. You know, the Chiefs and the Packers, a couple underdogs.
Yeah, just Rodgers and Mahomes, you know. It was really out of boredom. We have also made money by just being smart, not doing stupid shit, taking Rodgers as an underdog. That's just a great bet. I've been on a baseball game, guy. Once the A's lineup came out, I'm like, I don't even know who the fuck these guys are. And then I'm like, I like the White Sox team. Why the fuck am I betting against this team as this guy is just shoving?
Well, I was talking to somebody like, well, you know, it's tough. You haven't seen the White Sox. I'm like, actually, the White Sox were like one of the teams I watched the most this year when I watched baseball because I just happened to watch them on opening day. They do a really good broadcast. They're kind of like the Nets, which, you know, they got Ian Eagle and Ryan Rucco and Fratello. They just do a good broadcast. Like, so I just, you know, watch. And
what's the guy's name? The famous broadcaster? He retired, huh?
Hawk Harrelson. Get up now, stretch. Come on, Paulie. He gone. You can put it on the board. Yes.
Did he retire last year?
Yeah, a couple years ago, because he got replaced by Jason Benetti, who does the ESPN.
Is he good?
But really good. But they still have Steve Stone from our youth, you know, who was on the Cubs games back when we were watching Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and Urkel in the afternoon.
Well, see, I feel bad. This Hawk had all these sweet little sayings, and now the team's good and going to be good for the next couple of years. He had to do all the shitty teams.
Well, they won a World Series. He got a World Series.
That's true.
You know, he invented the phrase pick to click when someone says, like, you know, who's your pick to click? That's Hawk. He invented the batting glove. You know that story?
No.
Really
quick, what's pick to click?
It's just like when it's like every game they used to do a pick to click, like who do you think is going to hit a home run today? And now I see other pregame shows do it. Like, what's your pick to click? So, whatever year it must have been in the 60s, Hawk was a big time golfer. goes, they're playing the Yankees. He goes golfing. While he's golfing, he's like, he gets a blister on his hand because I think the story might be that he played two rounds of golf that morning.
So oh, he was a player.
He was a player, yeah. Played 36, had a blister, so he wore his golf glove during the game that night. Mickey Mantle saw it, thought it was so cool. Mantle went out and bought like red golf gloves and gave them to all the Yankees the next day. And that's how the batting glove was born.
So actually, it's not that crazy. Hawk retired, given that he played with Mickey Mantle. He had to be pretty old.
Yeah, older guy.
Right.
Yeah. Older
guy. He had to have some pretty sweet stories. I mean, fucking playing Mantle around Pete Rose. And I miss that breed of guy.
Yeah.
We grew up on those guys when we were like kids, 80s, 90s. Those guys were like in their prime, calling baseball games, just around the team. And just it feels like they're just kind of getting phased out.
Well,
like, even Kruk and Kipe are like the last kind of bastion of that era.
For sure.
I met Mantle or I played with Rose, you know.
I was watching the White Sox the other day. Steve Stone was telling a story about like having breakfast with Elvis Presley.
Yeah, just stories like that.
Right. Stories that where the guy tells the story and you know he's holding something back too, where he like makes a comment and you're like, oh, they must have been hammered, but he doesn't say we were hammered, right? Like those stories.
Yeah, I mean, there is something to be said, like the famous Musburger picture of him just sitting there with Namath with the shirt off, like those type events. Like, you think fucking LeBron's having these events? Like, they're just
you think him and Mike those Breen.
Yeah, when you hear some of these stories about dudes like when they travel,
Breen
like with like the Lakers in the 70s, you like have cocktails at the airport, like. Fucking, do you think Clutch would let, they would let McMenamin, who's your guy, but he's got to be very pro, you know, it's like, it's just way different. Those days are over.
Yeah, but I think specifically as it comes to analysts on TV, it's harder and harder to get. Guys, I think there's a fundamental, they just hang out less with each other, they're richer, it's not bus trips, it's just a different, you know, you're not just going out together, all of you after the game with whoever's in town.
Well, there's a huge element, remember Eckersley took a lot of shit of like, he's hard on those guys. And remember David Price got really mad.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey guys, this guy's in the Hall of Fame. Like this guy's won fucking rings. Like he can fucking talk some shit.
Right.
You fucking morons. And when I met him at the Bay Club with Dr. Schwartz, who's like the A's doctor, used to be the Warriors and stuff. When you meet Eck, like he is not just some like fun loving old, like he's still kind of intimidating. I remember like, I don't know if he really wants to talk to me right now. And it was like David Price. I hate David Price ever after that.
Just because of that.
T-Mac.
Podcast brought to you by Ease.com, promo code HAM. Ease.com, promo code HAM. $20 off your first order of $50 or more if you're a first-time user. Returning users, we know we have many of you. So Ease said, you know what? Let's hook up the returning customers too.
Ease.com, promo code HAM. Just go to Ease.com, the website. Scroll up and down. Vapes, pre-rolls, edibles, topicals. Love my edibles. Some of you guys like your vapes. Some of you guys like the actual flower, the cannabis flower. They also have some of that. They have whatever you need. Just go to ease.com, check it out. If you're a returning user, HAM10, 10% off. If you've already used all these codes, guy, tell your friends, get on it. It's not very difficult. Ease.com, promo code HAM or promo code HAM10.
Just got to be 21 or over. You go online, you get verified in minutes. You put in the order. New user, you use the code HAM, $20 off. Returning, HAM10. 10, 10% off, and then you get the delivery within minutes. Go to ease.com. Podcast also brought to you by Burrow. Burrow, do this right now. Go to burrow.com/ham where you get $75 off your purchase. Go to burrow.com/ham and see somebody making something you've never seen anybody make before. Really good-looking couches that are easy to get in, get out. They come in individual pieces. They're easy for you to put together. They just hook together. They latch. No one would ever know they came in like multiple different pieces. You get a bigger place. You can add to them. They're modular. Burrow.com/ham. It's better for you to see it than to hear me tell you.
Guy, you can assemble your sofa in minutes by yourself with no tools. Really easy. Add or remove seats as needed. Convert a love seat into a sofa, into a sectional and back. It's exceptional. Just go to their website, burrow.com/ham. Check it out. It's awesome. If you're looking for couches, you're looking for, you know, anything for your living room, for your bedroom, they have it all. They have a lot of new cool stuff. You can pick your own fabrics, your own finishes, your own styles. It's really awesome. I can't recommend it enough. $75 off Burrow purchase, plus fast and free shipping. Key, free shipping. Burrow.com/ham. Check out the site for details. That's B-U-R-R-O-W, Burrow.com/ham. $75 off.
Burrow offers a collection of affordable rugs, coffee tables, love seats, armchairs, ottoman, stylish, practical, designed to go together. Books can be stored on their new modular shelves. It's all there, Burrow.com/ham. All right, a lot to get to, John. We haven't started a podcast with baseball in a while, but we'll do that today because I went to the A's game. And I almost went since 1995 without going to a baseball game. This was almost the first year that I didn't go to a baseball game since 95.
In like 25 years?
1995, I think, was the last year I didn't go to. 94, 95 probably.
Why? To me, the most fascinating part before you get into it, you know, no big deal, Major League Baseball, MLB Network, having Haberman, you know, cover the A series, White Sox series.
Yep.
And just you're independent. You're not picking a side here. I've been texting you since these games have been coming back on. Probably the bubble. Obviously, golf is just silent. But the bubble and in baseball, like, do you think what we're hearing on TV is in the broadcast? And you said, we've just gone back and forth. No one, I've
texted
a bunch of people.
I didn't think so at first.
No one really knew. And most people, I don't know anyone beside football reporters. And they're in boxes of football are enclosed and they're not allowed out. Like, you got to sit outside a playoff game. What was it like?
So we sat, just for people, I sat on at the Coliseum, first base side, top of the lower bowl. It's a good seat, like, you're pretty low. And it was more artificial watching it live than watching it on TV is. So if you think watching it on TV is kind of weird when you just see a shot with no crowd, watching it live is even weirder, because I think everybody has been, like, everyone's been to a game that doesn't have a lot of people at it. It could be a high school football game. It could be anything, a college basketball game, whatever.
Like an A's game.
Yeah. But it's so different because it feels more artificial. And the reason it feels more artificial is because they are pumping fake crowd noise in through the speakers. So
give
the
me
whole
an example,
time.
Because we don't really hear that on TV.
So the crowd noise that you hear on TV, I think a lot of that is coming from the stadium, just from the mics that are there. It's not added after the fact.
Gotcha.
So when you hear just shh, that noise, and then there's a grounder to second, it goes shh, that, you know, just the recorded sounds of a crowd with the A's game, they have some drums. That's coming through all the speakers in the stadium. So the players, everybody's just hearing that nonstop. Then when anything happens where there would normally be music, like an inning change, a pitching change, a batter comes up, they play music like normal, but I think it's louder than usual. Like, it's really loud.
So it's fair to say by this point, all these guys are kind of numb to it.
Numb
you
to it. I would guess they kind of like the music. I think they probably like the music because at least it sounds like. I think the music's probably really loud just because they think maybe it. If the players didn't like the music that loud, they'd turn it down, right? Yeah. It's really loud. And maybe the fact that the seats are empty and the sound is just bouncing, maybe that contributes. But I think they just blare it.
Well, I saw Sal Castaneda was like, we're getting reports all over the East Bay that you can hear the music coming from the Coliseum.
It was. I've been to a lot of stadiums. You've been to a million stadiums, to a million games. I am very conscious not being like, old guy, turn that down. But it was so loud. But it's like, well, the only people that are there is a few media people and the players. So if the players like it, they're not, whatever. But really loud. But to me, the thing that makes it feel so artificial is the fake crowd noise does not make you think there's a crowd there. Now, maybe the players feel like there's a crowd there with the fake crowd noise, but on TV, fake crowd noise and real crowd noise are the same. They're just, it's the same thing, right? By and large, because what you're hearing is stuff that TV just recorded. The fake crowd noise just comes from recorded previous game sound that they had.
You do agree, though, in the big leagues, if no fans are going to be allowed, you do need to add stuff for the players to get some juice if the place.
Yeah,
be
I guess what I'm saying is on TV, it makes total sense. Live and in person, it doesn't feel like real crowd noise. Like it feels like a sound machine that you would turn on to go to sleep to drown out the side of a highway, the sound of a highway. So it didn't feel real to me. It made me feel less like I was at a live baseball game. which is weird because I'm seeing.
No one's supposed to be there except the players and the coaches.
But you could actually hear. To me, it felt like I heard less of what was happening on the field than normal because of all this crowd noise constantly going.
It's a legit weird experience.
Yeah, it's weird, but it's not weird for the reason that other people have said it's weird just because there's no one there. It's like, yeah, that's weird, but it's the fact that they add this crowd noise that to me makes it feel way weirder. Because it doesn't feel like real crowd noise.
You've been to baseball playoff games. You've been to ALCSs. You've been to NLCSs. You've been to World Series games. Did that feel anything remotely like a Major League Baseball playoff game?
No. Now, part of it...
It didn't really watching it.
Yeah, I mean, I shouldn't say... yes, like, look, it's
these guys are trying really hard, and they're taking it really seriously.
And Giolito's like, shoving, and they have, like, graphics on the video board that say ALC, AL wild card, right? Like, there is that stuff that lets you know that's what it is. So, I shouldn't say no. Like, it's not 0% playoff game, but it's normal. 20, it's I don't know 20%. That it's any different than... Yeah, it's 10%. The one thing that was cool was like the guys who are not in uniform sitting in the stands or in the dugout. There's like the extra guys, like the taxi squad, you know, the guys that aren't on the active roster but are there in case they need an extra guy. They were sitting on the same level. So imagine any baseball stadium, the top few rows of the lower bowl are like the ones that are under the shade of the top section, right? So they were like that high down the first base line. And they, anytime the White Sox did anything, you would hear them just scream, like they were, the whole stadium could hear them, right? Except it was like, yeah, yeah! So Giolito gets a strikeout, Abreu hits a home run. I mean, not even that stuff, just like Tim Anderson gets it, like there's a base hit. They're just making noise. Yeah. Like they felt like, it sounded like when you go to a game without a lot of people and there's like
high school or something.
Yeah,
right?
But there's like five guys there who they're just there to get drunk. And so they're just cheering for everything. They weren't obnoxious in that way, but it's just there's five people making noise, and it's those five guys down there. The whole stadium can hear them. It was weird. That part was actually cool.
I mean, you will never, after this year, assuming this fucking thing ends, ever get a new experience something like that again, right? Like, think of some of these guys. Like, you know, would you go to a football game? Like, can you imagine, like, an NFL football game, the game's being played? Like, you got to watch a pro baseball game. That would be cool if it was like Yankees, Red Sox, something. Let's be real. But if you were watching like the Monday night football game and there was 10,000 fans allowed in, you just get to sit by yourself and watch the game.
The experience is not, oh, this is crazy, because we've been to games with no people. Like you've been to NFL scrimmages, college football. Yeah. So that part is not the crazy part. To me, the crazy part is you're sitting there and with the constant white noise of a fake crowd, it doesn't feel like it should. Like, it should feel like a spring training game, but just with guys that care. But it doesn't feel that way. It's weird. But again, it's not for us. That's not who it's for. It's obviously worth doing for TV because it does help the sound of TV. And again, if the players didn't like it, they wouldn't do it. But, that's the weird part to me. And the other weird part is, like, just there'll be like a huge strikeout, and this is the part that everyone says, so I won't dwell on this, but there's like a huge strikeout and there's just no sound, just walks, especially if it's the visiting team, right? The visiting team, like the game ends, they're one game away from advancing in the playoffs, and there's just no sound, just nothing. Just
like silent. When you walk into the stadium, how many people do you pass in the halls? And
a lot of security, just employees mostly.
Yeah, just kind of telling you where to go?
No, not even, just doing whatever it is they're supposed to be doing, but you just walk around, do whatever
masked
you
up.
Want.
Oh, everyone you see masked up?
Everyone masked up. Yep. Yeah, it was... I saw, you know, funny thing. Barry, a sports guy, was there, Berman. He's like, you're here for the ham pod? And I said, yeah, Middlecoff will be here for game two. Oh, I also saw... You remember Roy T. Roy, security guy, who's always been there for the Raiders. He saw me, said, where's your boy John? What's John up to? And I said, podcast, go do... And he's... He's like, I do drive a lot. He's not quite podcast ready, but he's like, I hear about radios like going down the tubes. I'm like, that's right. He's yeah. So shout out to Roy.
Tell him you get your phone.
Roy wanted me to tell you hello.
Well, the one thing I noticed today, and this will kind of lead into the football thing that I've noticed this week, and I think basketball. And listen, I completely understand why all these leagues have played. And like you said, even being there today, this is not for us. You know, to go to these games, no one's supposed to be there. The only reason you're there is for MLB Network, right? So it's like they don't even want the, how many media people were there? Not that many.
Yeah,
like they're trying to
limit. I don't know, 20 maybe. But everyone's in different sections.
This clearly is all about making the money, and the way all these leagues make money in 2020. I mean, the majority of their money. Obviously, football and basketball makes a lot of money on suites, right? And the Yankees and the big boys. But TV now for basketball and baseball and football, like, wasn't the big thing when baseball was getting their CBA figured out, like, it was they wanted to add extra teams so they could make extra playoff money,
right?
They get a lot of playoff money. Yep. It's all about TV, so I completely get it. But, guy, like, what we're watching is not normal sports. And I was on a text chain last night with the Monday Night Football game.
It's you were texting Greasy Levy and Lewis together and Middlecoff.
No, that place when the Chiefs came out would have been fucking bananas. That game today would have been tight once they got down. But the moment they got a couple runners on, the place would have erupted. And it's just playoff baseball. And these NBA series, the thing we always talk about, and all the older guys have always said, role players play better at home. And they always struggle on the road. And it's like the bubble. I saw Scottie Pippen say today, and listen, I'm sure people are going to call him an old head and stuff. He's like, listen, I'm not trying to be an asshole or a dick, but this tournament's like pickup basketball. This isn't real basketball. Hmm. And listen, LeBron's probably going to win the championship, and you could argue he would have won the championship regardless, and I would have probably agree. The Lakers would have had as good of a chance to win the whole thing. But this is not all real. Even like football is clearly not real, right? Baseball probably is the most, would you say, independent of the crowd, but it still does matter.
I would say baseball is probably...
Would you go football, basketball, baseball, or basketball, football, baseball?
That's tough. I mean, the one thing with football, basketball, it's more about the emotion that it affects. Football, there is like a tangible, your defense is on the field, you're making noise, Aaron Rodgers can't do a hard count on the road in New Orleans, right? So I'd probably
put
football
one for that
reason.
Especially there, no chance he could do it there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, especially, right. So I'd probably put football one for that reason, but to me, they're right there. Baseball is like basketball in the postseason, right? Like, baseball games in the regular season just have it's whatever, they're casual. But in the postseason, we went to how many?
There's an edge to it. It's just like, God, this place is on tilt.
I mean, when the Coliseum in a postseason get 54,000 people, how about the game we went to? Which Giants-Nats game did we go to where we stood, remember, like two rows behind
Steve Perry.
Steve Perry from Journey. When he sang
Don't Stop Believing.
Don't Stop Believing.
It was fucking, one of my biggest regrets is not, did you save that video?
Oh, I don't. It was on like five iPhones ago, it feels like.
I know. That was so badass. It was like unintended. We just stood there and he was fucking
We didn't know
there.
He was standing in front of us. We're like, why is there a camera right here?
And then they just start playing it and he gets up and you're like, oh my God.
They gave him a microphone.
It was badass.
We saw Jack Del Rio that day too, remember?
Was that a different one?
Oh, maybe that was a different game, actually.
That was a World Series game, I think. I just think in general, and listen, I won't asterisk, I can never say that word, I won't put a flag on any of these champions because everyone's playing the same rules. Baseball is 162 games, 60, but whoever wins it this year won it given the circumstances. The bubble was the bubble, everyone playing by the same rules. NFL, not totally playing by the same rules because some teams have fans, but still, like, it's still been the same corona rules. But I think we do have to acknowledge this is not fucking normal, guy. Like, is it fair to say, let's use for an example that happened last weekend. I didn't watch one snap of this game. I just followed it on online. And when I was driving, I was up early Saturday morning, and I flipped on, ESPNU does a really good job covering college football. Like, they just got guys that just know their shit. And Barrett Salee and, like, Luganville were on there, and they were just kind of breaking down LSU. And for us on the West Coast, like, guys, don't expect, like, they have six total guys that were in the two deep last year. Like, this whole team's new. Which, perfect storm, Leach, that was still at LSU, coming off a national championship. How apeshit would that place have been to Ed O coming to a national championship? That place would have been nuts. Are we sure that Mike Leach wins that game just with the home crowd going apeshit?
No, of course not.
KJ Costello goes in there totally with 90,000 people.
I think it's
people.
A great point. It's not to diminish anything. It's just to acknowledge the crowds matter. It's why it's the crowd
Cause
is really...
If I,
One of the biggest reasons to go to a game is just to be in the crowd, to be a part of the noise.
If I told you that Mike Leach's team over the last 10 years, pick any of them, just play Ohio State or Alabama or Georgia or USC or whoever in a scrimmage situation, if just like, you know, Middlecoff, Haberman, no one else allowed, you guys can watch and the two teams are going to be there with their coaching staffs. It wouldn't be crazy if we're like, we came away and be like, God, fucking Leach was scoring touchdowns on them left and right?
Yeah, toe to toe.
But if you just told me, yeah, they have to go to Alabama and his new quarterback, KJ Costello, or LSU or Florida, and it's a packed house, I don't feel the same way. You know? Now, yeah. Like, for example, the Chiefs game, the Chiefs are the better team. But I don't know if it just would have been so easy, like, as it was, just because there's no noise.
How about Bills-Rams?
Well, guy, I watched that game, just the condensed version. They're up 28-3 in the third quarter, beating the shit out of them. And I can imagine if me and you had just been in the stands, like you were today, you'd be like, this is kind of crazy. The Bills look probably as good as they have in 25 years. And it's just like them high-fiving each other. Like, think about that. Like, what would that place have been for all the videos we've seen the last 10 years on social media? And their teams haven't even been good up until last year. How loud would that place have been 28-3 against the Rams, who were 2-0 and everyone was blowing, and rightfully so. Like, they were one of the better teams in the league. And then you have your quarterback throwing all these crazy that place, I think it would, they might have ripped that place down.
I mean, would the Falcons have a win if they had a crowd? They might.
Well, I'd pull off the pedal a little, but I think the LSU, the Bills, like the Saints against Rodgers,
Cowboys, Seahawks. The Niners are playing Sunday Night Football this week against the Eagles. What would that be like?
Yeah. Well, to me, that's where, and we'll get into the lock of the week later. Like, listen, these games are weird. Like, if you told me that Wentz has his breakout game and it's a little easier for him, isn't that believable?
Yeah.
Don't we have to go the other way? Because I was there last year. I was thinking about this today. Remember they're playing the Browns on Monday Night Football, and the first play of the game, Kyle has, like, the scheme. He hits it. Breda takes it 90 yards. And remember, like, next-gen fastest run of the year. That place went berserk, and it stayed on a high level for like that first quarter. Baker throws a pick, and the place is just—it's going nuts. By the second half, everyone ran out of juice, but the game was over in the first half because the crowd was just relentless. Like, what? Let's say the Niners go up 14-0. Like, it's just like, okay,
yeah,
you know. I do understand. Couldn't you see that today from a player's perspective, where it's just like, it's a little different in baseball because you're ultimately just going up to bat once every three. If you're facing that guy today, you just rotate every time, 9 outs. But, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, but then he had to come out. But then Giolito comes out of the game after they break up the perfect game. The guy that comes in is making his postseason debut. Well, there's runners on base, right? Tight situation. You go from having a perfect game thinking you're not going to have to pitch today to getting in the game. Maybe that guy pitches different if there's 54,000 people.
Could you argue in college football, this year in baseball, little less in basketball probably, but in the NFL, they're going to be champions and someone's going to win it. But this was a really good developmental year of just your guys and just working on shit. Now, these games count.
But imagine you're a rookie this year, and then next year in your second year is when you realize, like, as a left tackle, it's a little different with...
Well, what if, like, opening week next year is, like, opening up at Kansas City, full house, right? Or Seattle.
Yeah, and you're Joe Burrow.
Or the Patriots coming off Cam Newton's franchise, and he's been
good. Now, Joe Burrow played at LSU and played. He knows what a crowd is, but still.
Hot take, Joe Burrow's really good.
Very good. But we had that take, remember. We've been on that take for a week already.
I just think you can go, listen, LeBron's probably going to win the championship. Dodgers or Yankees win the championship. Football, I mean, shit, it'd probably be Mahomes. And you'd be like, well, they would have won it anyway. And I'd be like, yeah, they would have. But I think we do have to acknowledge everything that happened this year was just a little of, it's just different.
Yeah. You know? Like, I'm not going to asterisk.
It's easier, right? In a way, it's
well,
easier.
It's different. Is it easier to play defense this year? No.
It's way harder to play defense.
Yeah. You're always thinking about the offense. But, like, I'm not going to asterisk this baseball season. I didn't realize quite. Like, it's a grind for these guys to play 60 games in 66 days. The A's finished, they played 26 games in 24 days to finish the season. And now you've got an extra round of playoffs because of all this. You don't have any home field, right? So I do think guys are worn out, whatever. And you would hope that after 162, you are worn out, that the crowds kind of get you going. You don't have that. Everyone probably enters the playoffs kind of worn out, ready for the playoffs in baseball. So I like the point. Here's my thing on baseball. They played a season. They've got a tournament. Someone's going to win it. They won the tournament this year. Like, if you call it a tournament, it's just they won this tournament that they played.
Maybe I need to change my tune a little bit, because I have to acknowledge baseball, basketball, and football, the sacrifices you have to make wear you out. I mean, basketball, you had to go to a fucking bubble. Well, even though they're at Disney, it did wear you out. Baseball, that.
I didn't.
In football, unless you're the Raiders, I bet a lot of teams are like you having to turn down just nights out, you know, on their off days, telling their family just to stay away. It's like, hey, listen, there's a lot of money on the line.
Yeah.
You just, things that are just wearing you out mentally.
Well,
Florio, who's a pro-corona guy, was like, listen, like, eventually players might just succumb to, like, I can't take this anymore. It's hard.
He's not pro-corona. He roots for Corona
to win, is what I mean.
I didn't realize this until last week. Like, baseball players are not allowed to show up to the stadium more than a certain amount of time. I think it's 5 hours before the game. So for a 7 o'clock game, you can't come before 2. Now you might think, well, you don't need to be there before 2 anyway. But there's plenty of days where guys are just like, you know what? I need to get there at 1. I need to get some work on my hammy, get a lift in, take some BP, take a shower, maybe work with the mental performance coach, whatever. So like their routines, we've been saying, like, everyone says the routine. But like baseball players, I know this, I learned, they can't prepare for games like they would normally prepare for games. You normally got as much time as you want. You don't want to be in the hotel. You've walked around the city for 2 days. You're done with that. Go to the ballpark. Watch a bunch of video. Whatever. Can't do it. So they got to get tested, get on the bus, everyone together, right? It's a different deal. So I just think it's just that over time, it's just tighter and tighter.
Maybe I'll change my tune a little bit. It's different. The outcome or the atmosphere and the environment of playing the actual game is changed dramatically, but the lead up to the game is very mentally taxing.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
On everybody.
Yeah, I think that's exactly
right.
I mean, my
friends in the NFL, especially that aren't, like, if your name's not Brett Veach and you're like the third highest guy on the totem pole, well, your testing slot every day is like 6:15 to 6:30 in the morning. Like, that's when you got to get there to get checked. And maybe you show up typically at like 7:45, you know? Sucks.
So I didn't realize they were scheduled, each person.
Yeah, I think.
Makes sense.
I think it's kind of set up that way. Yeah, you don't have an unlimited amount of testers, right?
No. And you can't have a line of people, just everyone standing around.
Yeah, so it's just everyone. I do think these leagues, and it shows you how much money is truly on the line, have all three of them. Obviously, the NBA did the bubble, but I think baseball and football have done everything humanly possible, because a bubble's not feasible, right, with the amount of people, especially in football. And even baseball, the players weren't going to do it to do this right. Right, I think it shows you that when baseball got derailed, it was the slappies with the Marlins that went out. Right, they got caught.
Right, and exactly. There have been situations. The A's had to take 4 days off, but it's by and large they were not widespread. Before we get to some Niner stuff, some other football, the Raiders lock of the week podcast brought to you by MyBookie.ag, promo code Hammond the number one, MyBookie.ag, Hammond the number one. They will match your first deposit dollar for dollar up to $1,000. Just know if you accept the bonus, you can decline the bonus, right? If you accept the bonus, you do have to bet a certain amount of money then before you can withdraw any money. You can decline the bonus, still use the promo code though, just we get credit. But God, you've been super active on MyBookie the last couple days.
Guy, I've been having a lot of people DM me like, where do you gamble? Where do you gamble? Where do you gamble? MyBookie.ag, MyBookie.ag, MyBookie.ag. I tell you guys, we've been talking about it for years. It's where we do gambling. We've been really active this fall. We've been pounding the pavement with our bets. This week, I got news for you guys. It's not going to be easy. I don't have a good feel for it at all.
For our lock.
MyBookie.ag, promo code HAM1. Promo code HAM1.
College football is there. NFL, obviously, is there.
You can bet the NBA Finals is here. Yep. Baseball playoffs, you can bet on series and games. There's just a lot. There is a lot going on right now. I saw during the baseball game, the A's game because it was on ESPN. They did a all of a sudden I heard the music. And I was like, that sounds like the Masters. And I look up, and it was a Masters commercial, and it was ESPN Plus.
Somebody DM'd me and asked, are we doing, I can't wait for that. All right, good.
Yeah.
Different challenge this week, John. Eagles, not great. Better than the Giants. Better than the Jets. Not saying a lot. Also desperate. Unlike those two teams, high ceiling team. High ceiling team, desperate team. So it matters that you get Debo and Kittle and maybe Jimmy back this week. Because here's how I look at this game a little differently in the last couple weeks. You can play a good game and lose to the Eagles if they play their best game, right? Like the Giants' best game wasn't beating you if you played well. The Jets' best wasn't beating you if you played well. If you play well, the Eagles' best, Carson could just throw 4 touchdowns and 380 yards and no picks, right?
Yeah.
And it's a good coach.
I noticed something today when I watched the Bengals-Eagles game. You realize, you know what? Say what you want about the Bengals. They're in every fucking game. They've played 3 games, and they were right in all 3. The Browns game and that opening game against the Chargers, which they could have won. Like, I think there's a chance the Bengals win like 3 or 4 games, but they're just one of those teams that was like every team that played them was like, they're good. Why? Because they got a quarterback. And you and I both watched the Rams-Eagles game. Like, the Eagles... Carson went. Now, would they have won that game? I don't know, but they were right in that thing, and Carson just threw a terrible pick. Now, they've had some things happen since, guy. Goddard, they had a 2 tight end kind of monster with Goddard, who's like their, you know, Kittle light. And again, like, I'm not comparing to Kittle, but I just mean he's like a physical player, really good athlete. They draft him in the 2nd round. They think he's going to be a star. He's hurt. Like, he's out this week.
He's a good
high
catcher.
Ankle sprain.
Yeah, when I watch him, I thought he's a good pass catcher, too.
He's just a good player. He's out. So you watch him, you're like, oh, who else is he throwing to? It's like Greg Ward Jr. Deshaun got banged up last week. Alshon's been out.
Has
like,
J.J. Arcega-Whiteside gotten a target yet?
Well, do you see, I saw someone on Twitter broke it down. He didn't even play last week. So he's just, they didn't
was he active?
Good. Now that, he dressed for the game. So Miles Sanders, the running back they drafted last year in the 2nd in round from Penn State, he's actually pretty good. He made some plays against the Bengals. And then their defense is just kind of meh. But they do. I mean, Fletcher Cox, Malik Jackson, like they got a couple defensive linemen. They're just better than the Giants and Jets.
Sorry, did you mention their offensive line's banged up and bad?
Oh, it's awful. Okay. I mean, they are a wounded team right now. And a team, unlike the Jets and Giants, right, people did think like, this should be a 9-10 win team. They got Carson Wentz, who has 6 picks. So it's like if this team has any fight left in it, just pride. They've been in the playoffs 3 straight years. At 0-2-1, punted 3 times in the overtime. Do you just get like, is this an empty the kitchen sink for them? Flying across the deal. I mean, the Niners are better. You're getting all these guys back, but I can't imagine. Like, I was confident. We bet money the last 2 weeks. Jets, Giants, we didn't even flinch. This one, I could just see the Eagles putting up a fight. Now, maybe the Niners just house them. I'll be a little shocked if the Niners just win like 30-10.
I don't think it's going to happen. We're going to talk about locks later. What's the line
it's
right
already
now?
Up to 7, I saw. It's been
going
up.
Mean, look, for good reason because of everything you just walked through. But I'll go back to what I said to start. They have a real NFL head coach. We don't know if any of the 3 teams the Niners have played this year have a real NFL head coach, right? Gase, the answer right now is going to be no. I can't imagine he's the coach beyond this year. Joe Judge, who knows? Cliff, he's got a shot because he's got Kyler, but who knows? This Doug Peterson's a real NFL head coach. So it's the first guy like this that Kyle's coached against this year.
Didn't he call a play called like the Philly Special or something?
Or
Nick.
Was that Frank Reich maybe or Flip or... They got so many head coaches. By the way, Nagy and Frank Reich coaching against each other this week with Foles, who the Colts almost signed. But
and Flip works for Nagy now.
And Flip works for Nagy, yeah. but I just go back to, it's not about to me whether like Deshaun plays or anybody else is desperate. I just think Carson, for all his flaws, can have an MVP-like game. And it's not like this is the first time Carson's ever played with a shitty supporting cast. He's had to carry the team before.
He's done it better before.
It might not be enough. He might make the backbreaking mistake. But you can't, like, miss 2 extra points. You can't you just don't have the room for error, potentially. Now, maybe he throws you two passes and one's a pick six and whatever. But I just have to be, I always go back, Steve Kerr said it for years, I thought it's a great phrase, appropriate fear. Like, there, you didn't have to have that the last 2 weeks. I do think you have to have that with this team, just because this guy could do, he can just do special things. He has it in the bag, as you like to say.
Right now, though, watching the Bengals game, because I'm like, when you're not super, super locked in, I just see on my Twitter account, people are just shitting on him. I'm like, I bet there's a little bit overreaction.
Shitting on Cincinnati or Philly?
No, shitting on Wentz. Yeah. On Wentz.
Well, no, that's, look,
there are just some deep balls. Well, their deep balls right now are flying like 15 yards past guys. There are balls that are just, it's like, well, I do kind of see where people are like, what is going on? Did you see, I forwarded you the deal of the dude that made the TikTok of like he was getting his luggage and he's got a Michael Vick jersey on and he starts taking off toward the street and his wife goes, where are you going? And he says, I'm going to Chicago. I'm going to get Nick Foles and bring him home. And it's just, there is this elephant in the room.
You texted me that?
There's this, I think I did. There's this elephant in the room right now with this franchise of, and it's not necessarily the right thing to think, but I do understand it, that they think that this guy shouldn't even be the quarterback.
I don't think
right?
You should be that. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was one of those things that, like,
players necessarily think that. A lot of new teams.
They had buried
a lot of new players.
Right. But it doesn't feel like they're rooting for him because
Foles just resurrected it, guy. He just resurrected it.
Well, right. But it also feels like they root for Wentz because he's their quarterback. Maybe Eagles fans can tell us if this is how they feel. But in some ways, they want him to succeed because for them to succeed, he has to. But they don't want to love him, I don't feel. Like, embrace him, right?
Well, guy, to me, the Mullins Garoppolo thing probably doesn't work because
you mean the Niners
Mullins
quarterback situation?
Garoppolo, yeah, but if but I'm just saying, like, if Mullins,
like, what do you think of the Niners quarterback situation? Like,
but if let's say Garoppolo broke his leg, like week 12, Mullins came in, took him to the Super Bowl,
yeah,
won it,
yeah.
Well, the reality is he'd be the quarterback next year. Yeah. Jimmy'd be gone.
Yeah.
So it doesn't work. But let's just say Jimmy had more equity built up, and it was like a more of a no-brainer. Because again, trust me, I there's no situation. If that scenario happened, bye bye Jimmy, hello Mullins, right? But let's just say it was like Philly. I don't think Niner fans, if you put any fan base in that situation, it would hard not to be like, that guy went to war for us and he beat Belichick.
Right.
Like, I get where they're coming from.
And this other guy keeps getting hurt.
Because I thought it with the Niners, with the Kaepernick-Alex thing, it was different because Foles wasn't, like, more talented than Wentz, right? He was just winning and playing better. The thing with Kaepernick, it was like, Alex can't do that. Alex can't do that, right?
Right.
That is the one thing with Mullins. Jimmy is a better player, and it's a stupid argument. But it's not that big of a gap. I can understand we're just the casual fan at home. Like, fuck, Mullins ain't that. Because I do get it. Like, there is some nuance to
especially
the Jimmy
if you already
thing. Yeah,
if you're already frustrated with Jimmy, right?
Yeah, and I think there were people frustrated. The difference with Wentz is the year that Foles won the Super Bowl, wasn't Wentz on pace to win the MVP?
Yeah.
Right? He was having just a history of like 34 touchdowns.
Game.
Like, yeah, I was like. So it was like they did at least see the talent, right? It was like, well, you've seen his high end. It's high.
Yeah.
Because Foles, like, it'll be – if you had to guess the next – how many – what week is this? Week 4, so they got 13 more games. Does Foles throw 20 touchdowns in 13 games?
I guess he
already got three.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, the problem is, you know, he had a – whatever that deficit was, so he just came in winging the ball. But, look, Debo probably back. Kittle probably back. Jimmy, we don't know, but it feels like you observed and you said in the last pod, he was standing the whole game. If your ankle's really bothering you, you don't do that.
Well, guy, do you think a guy with a high ankle sprain in sports, you have him stand for 3 hours?
No.
Like, that's not normal, is it? Mm-mm. I
think he could have played.
My take,
didn't need to.
My take is he probably wasn't that badly banged up by the time the game came around and they were just like, same with Kittle. And two were standing next to each other, right? They were like, listen. And maybe that's the confidence and the cockiness Kyle has. Did you see the PFF guys? I saw them tweet this. I saw Sam Munson tweet about it the other day. And he's like, you know who Kyle Shanahan is? He's Costner from Tin Cup. And when I just saw his tweet, I was like, what's he talking about? Do you remember the part in the movie when he says he could beat the club pro with tools? And he's like, he beats him with like a rake and like all these tools in his bag. And he shoots like, he just beats the guy for money. And he's like, that's kind of what Kyle Shanahan just did. I get it's the Giants.
That's a great.
But when you just break down 40% of the salary cap on the sideline or injured reserve, like it is, it's one thing to win. And this guy's point was, he beat the shit out of another NFL team. His backup quarterback threw for 300 yards with a rookie that had missed the last month, with backup running backs, the third string guy no one's even heard of. I mean, it is kind of crazy when you take a step back. Like his point was really like, this guy is a magician at what he does.
That's why when people say like, are you guys going to get off his jock? It's like, not until we see a reason to do that. Yeah. Right?
And that probably is... I am more pro Jimmy, though this year I'm just not on the fence, but my tune is just, I'm more open minded to do it all. I will not get behind Jimmy Garoppolo and Nick Mullins are at the same talent level. I watched the two guys play, and they're just not the
I
same
brought
talent
that up,
level.
I'm sorry.
No, but I'm just saying like it is. I do think it's just if you're a casual guy watching, I do get the conversation. You're just based off a win, his numbers.
Yeah.
I saw someone broke down like the yards per attempt. I get it. I do. But one guy is just a lot better. in theory. Yeah. But I'm not even saying Jimmy is like he ain't like a top 10 guy. Don't get me wrong. But like that's where like you'll even watch him with Carson, assuming he plays. Well, let's say Mullins plays. Carson's physical attributes are in a different world than both those two guys, right?
Yeah, I think...
Doesn't mean he's playing well.
But I think part of it is you take what you think of Kyle, you go, if you could get him like a truly, right, a blue chip type quarterback, what could it be? Like, I think that's what you're always thinking. I think that's what I'm thinking as someone like you who was all in on Jimmy early. I just go, you know, it'd be great to have what... And everyone
what
says
if, what
this.
If like Sam Darnold becomes available or something like that? But it's like, would Kyle even like Sam? I don't know.
I mean, he's pretty physically gifted. I don't think I gave him enough credit the other day going into that game because he's made a couple plays that the throw he made to Berrios this weekend wasn't spinning out twice, and it was crazy. But anyway.
Would you agree if Sam Darnold was on the Niners, he would be a good player?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Right. Yes, his floor is just going to be high because of Kyle, and maybe his ceiling's really high. By the way, long snapper thing. They tried out 4 long snappers, John. It had to be not a highlight of Kyle's day.
Well, it's got to be something to keep an eye on. Like, if they do, they're going to assume not every game is going to be a blowout.
That's right.
If your long snapper can't long snap, aren't you fucked? Because
but they've got to get like a new emergency situation. They got to get Wisnowski's
but
they got
it doesn't exist.
No. What are you talking about?
An emergency long snap.
No, I'm not talking about emergency. I'm saying they just got to prepare Wisnowski better for what to do on a bad snap.
Yeah, start throwing him some shitty
I don't
balls.
Know. They got to have just like a red, and somebody runs and he just throws it over his head. So anything is better than what they tried.
I feel like Wisnowski.
I don't blame him. He
and even I feel like Wisnowski freaks, and then a kicker is like a golfer or a pitcher. You throw him off, he's done.
He wants to back
right?
off
so
the
he's
ball.
Off.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, well, hey, guy, or hey, Robbie, you know, the corner that even is the shittiest player on the field for the Giants runs a 4.3 40, and no one touches him coming around the edge. The first one, you couldn't tell that he fucked up. I thought it was blocked because the guy was flying around the edge.
It was like,
I'm shocked.
Late.
Weren't you shocked one didn't get blocked?
I'm stunned. And I get it. Like, if you kick it into that and it gets blocked, now it can get, especially if it's a field goal, now it can be returned for a touchdown. So you got to be careful. Yeah. But, man. Dicey. All right, we got to figure out this lock of the week situation, John. And I don't feel great. You said earlier we're 3-0. We've picked one game a week. We decided we're just going to bet it until we're out of money. We did $250 each of the first 3 weeks. So what are we up to now? Do you know?
We also placed a little bit on the Patriots, so we're at
that's right,
like 1050. So we started with 250. We're now over 1,000.
So this week, this is not us making the pick. It's just us talking through it. As always, we welcome your advice. Broncos-Jets, as we're talking, went from a pick'em to Jets +1, by the way, on Thursday night.
The Driscoll's no longer the quarterback. Rippon.
Oh, from Boise
some
State.
Random. Yeah, he's a
Mark Rippon's nephew, I think.
Yeah, quarterback, starter.
So
honestly, kind of like the Broncos. How about you? Not for us, but I'm just saying in that game, if I was going to gamble it, I'd pick the Broncos.
Yeah, probably would. -1. They have a real...
Don't feel great.
Yeah. Anything else jump out to you?
I hate this slate. I mean, I despise this slate. I don't even know where to start. Chargers injured, wouldn't touch them.
How about Bears kinda plus like 2.5?
Honestly, don't hate that. How about this guy? Bears money line. Like, because if you're going to take him +2.5, don't you just take him to win the game?
Yeah.
+115.
But to me, like, the Colts are exactly the team that should win a game by 1 or 2. Like, they're not bad, right? I don't think they're as good as maybe they might look at times. They lost to the Jags.
But my point is, though, when I do plus, when I do get like a +2 or 3, I like sprinkling a little. Maybe we go 200, 250. Yeah.
Let's just first see if we can find a game we like. But I don't hate that idea at all. I don't hate that idea at all.
Cowboys Browns are basically the same team. Don't like that game. Seattle.
Hold on. I will tell you, I don't mind Cowboys -4.5, actually.
I don't either. I might have already put just a couple hundred, a little side bet on that earlier. Because I do think but I don't feel great about that.
No.
Because I do think the Browns have a lot of talent. But I also thought to myself, are the Browns going to start 3-1? I don't see it. That was my logic.
You started to say it, and I just stumbled into it, so it reminded me that you started to say it. I do kind of like the Bucs -7.5.
Don't hate that either. Herbert is going to play well against that defense, bringing it.
I've been telling
Godwin,
you.
Godwin hurt his hammy.
Again?
Yeah, he played, and then he got banged up.
I just, I like Herbert, but I don't think he's ready to, you know, like, lead a playoff. I mean, he needs everyone else to make the plays around him right now. He can make some of the plays, but I don't think he's ready to beat the Bucs on the road. But we're not talking about beat. We're talking about 7.5.
I saw Gruden say that Ruggs, you see Arnett's out now, fucked up his finger. Ruggs, highly questionable this week. I mean, the Bills are just better.
-3?
Now, they're 3-0. -3, it's not that big. Like,
no,
that number should probably
like
be like 5 or 6.
Yeah. Maybe. Are the Raiders going to get any suspensions from Waller's charity event?
I saw Florio wrote, there was in the amended CBA, they can fine them.
Okay, so no one's getting suspended.
No one's getting suspended.
What are they doing?
I would say Bills, Raiders, Cowboys, Browns, or the Bears. What about this? We pick the game we like the most. We go 250. And then we do a little three-game parlay. Bills, Bears.
You want to go Niners just for fun?
That number's getting a little high for me.
Kyle's beating the shit out of people, and he's at home. And Jimmy's going to be back. Maybe. We predict.
So if we went Bucks, if we did a four-team parlay of the Niners,
yeah,
Bills, Cowboys, and Bucks. Did I say that right?
Yep.
Niners, Bills, Bucks, Cowboys, pays 13-1. So $50, pay about $600.
What if you did Niners money line?
I mean, Niners
money line. As part of the parlay.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I actually feel worse about the Niners in a close game, but
yeah, 8-1.
So you give up a lot, though. I'd rather just go 7. How about Saints -4? How about Jags +3 at Cincinnati? No.
But honestly, I feel like the Jags get back. But
you think so?
Burrow.
You just kick yourself if you bet on them. I know. How about Rams -13 against the Giants?
Yeah, I think that's probably the safest.
Really?
What if we did this guy?
Remember last year there were all these high lines and just everyone was covering?
So we do Rams -13. Bears +2.5. Niners money line. That only pays 4-1.
Might as well. You've been hot on the Bears. The Bears have just been stealing defeat from stealing victory from the teeth of defeat.
Our guy Michael Pittman's injured. I like that. So it's maybe we'll have to decide for I don't have a great feel. Yeah, we'll I'd probably it out. Lean Bills. Bills minus three. I'm not opposed to going the Cowboys. I kind of just want the Cowboys to get a win.
I kind of like them. Not like
okay,
like,
I'm good.
Like them enough.
I'm good with doing that.
All right. We'll have to keep stay on that. Podcast brought to you by Manscaped. Manscaped.com. Promo code HAM. Manscaped.com. Promo code HAM20. I'm sorry. Promo code HAM20 at Manscaped.com, John. Get you 20% off and free shipping. Clean
yourself up. Lawnmower 3.0. Lawnmower 3.0. You can't beat it. USB charger. Easy to use. Get on it now. We have the toiletry bag that comes with it. Free shipping. Go to manscaped.com. Promo code HAM20. Easy. Get on it. Do it now. Now.
Oh, the perfect package 3.0. Do you no longer manscape at the desk? Is that why I'm not hearing the buzz, buzz, buzz? You've moved your...
Yeah. Well, because I used it.
Manscape like in the office.
A week ago. So it's in the
why
bathroom.
Why do you manscape by the webcam, John? Perfect Package 3.0 comes with the new improved lawnmower, performance boxer briefs, like you said, the travel bag. Get the crop preserver, the crop reviver, the anti-chafing ball deodorant, the spray-on toner. Limited time subscribers get not one but two free gifts, which is that shed travel bag and the patented high-performance anti-chafing Manscaped boxer briefs. 20% off and our appreciation when you use the code HAM20 at manscaped.com. HAM20 at manscaped.com.
Do it now.
You feel like the Raiders have it together right now, John?
I see that. I don't know. I just don't understand on a day like. And listen, I am on the Corona scale. I'm on the scale of just like I can't take much more. But in the day and age of where they've been getting tested nonstop, I talk to all my friends in the league. They just get tested nonstop. It's all they talk about. Scouting buddies, like, you wear your mask at your desk. Like, it's not, they don't stop talking about it. Like, all they've talked about in football is your opponent and Corona. Like, that's it. Football Corona. And for Darren Waller to have this party and for these guys to go, it's like, I don't see how the league doesn't pop them. Their coach got fined. Their coach and organization got a total fine for $350,000. On the day the league had just a couple players get it, one guy was a nose tackle that played like 45 snaps in the game. Minnesota had to send their whole league. Like, I think it's pretty fair to say the media loves going like, the NFL doesn't care about fucking anything, just money. Like, they clearly care about this, right? They've been taking it very, very seriously. And for the Raiders, just to like, for Derek and Jason Witten, just kind of haphazardly, like, yeah, we can just go to this thing with all these random people. And I'd be a little surprised if every single person got tested on the way in. It does seem... Like, I just can't see any other quarterback doing that. Like, that's... You're risking the games. What are we doing? This all sucks. But it's like, what are they doing?
One thing, and Mark Davis said, you don't like seeing this. I don't know that it's actually been built into our memories that you have to wear a mask. I'm not sure exactly what that quote meant. I'm reading it a little bit out of context just on Twitter.
Well, I just think that he's saying, and I agree with him, that, like, just sometimes you just don't wear a mask. To me, it's not... I'm not talking about the mass. How do you go to the function with all these random people?
Well,
like,
totally.
I don't see how the Raiders don't tell Darren Waller. And listen, Darren Waller's a rehabilitated drug user. So I completely am for what he's pushing, you know, in terms of this charity and stuff. But this is just, you have to do it next year, right? You can't do it
or
right
do
now.
It online. Do online auctions. The event host, Dragon Ridge Country Club, got fined by the city of Henderson. Apparently, you know, they have a rule against gatherings of more than 50 people. The story says there was more than 100 people. The mask thing to me comes into play because it's like, if they were wearing masks, you'd at least look at it and go, well, they're pushing it, but at least they recognize that there is a risk involved in what they're doing. No mask is saying, we're gathering, we know we're breaking a rule, and no mask... We don't even understand the risk that we're putting ourselves in, right? When I say the risk, I just mean the baseline minimum risk of someone's going to pop a test tomorrow and we might not play a game this week. And I know the risks are the repercussions are much larger than that potentially, right? But on the most basic level, it's like, guys, someone might there might be a positive test tomorrow morning. And then I don't
play. Or about this? What if it doesn't kick up for a couple days? Derek, you're the quarterback. You touch the ball every play and then you spread the ball to your friends. Right? Like, what? I don't understand how the quarterback goes to this. You know, Collins' big thing always is he's right. It's like quarterbacks are held to a different standard. If other guys were there, I wouldn't even think that much of it. Jason Witten, like, whatever. Who fucking cares? The quarterback went? Of everything that's going on right now in the sport, the quarterback went? I don't get it.
I wonder, too, and I guess this... The,
I guess you're supporting your guy, but...
Yeah.
I don't understand how some with the Raiders...
But yeah, well, this says the Raiders did not officially organize or host the event, but they did lend some assistance, according to Mark Davis, who donated money. So you're about to say you don't know how the Raiders let them go to this event if they...
To me, this is simple. Darren, we extended you. You're our best player on your team. We fucking love you. We got your back. We will donate whatever we need to do this year. You're not allowed to have this right now. We can't have this event, right? Or like you said, you got to go online. You can't have an in-person event. Think how many in-person events have been canceled because of this. Like, this is just, we can't afford, this guy just tested positive in Tennessee, and there's a decent chance, like, he did nothing wrong, right? He just,
right.
This big nose tackle.
We saw baseball guys test positive for doing something wrong. We saw test positive for doing nothing wrong. Yeah, I wonder if part of this is...
If they fine him pretty big, I do think it's kind of justified out of stupidity.
It's totally justified because again, if we're just saying the baseline risk is you're putting everyone's money, the game could get canceled. Or you might not play in the game. That's a bad thing.
For weeks, right? If you test positive, you're out a couple weeks.
I guess if you get the
positive tests or negative tests, but still.
I don't get it. I do wonder if, like, do other teams and other sports, like, do the players take it more seriously in other sports? The one thing you'd say with football, they didn't play preseason games. They didn't miss them. Baseball played 60 games. So they had a major interruption into what their normal year is, right? Basketball had a major interruption. Football, like, started on time, and the draft happened.
Yeah.
Now, again, like you said, it's not an excuse that it doesn't feel as real to you because you haven't had any games canceled.
But that's all they've been talking about.
Exactly.
The way they travel.
It's you tested nonstop every day.
Well, you know, like when you come to the facility, like my buddies get like box lunches delivered. You had a box lunch out there. Like this is your whole life is thrown for a loop. Like I don't get it. Especially the quarterback. Everything you're thinking. Like I think it's a pretty embarrassing moment.
I mean, the Titans might play a game without maybe they'll get a practice, right? As if we're recording this, they might move the game to Monday. They do a Saturday practice. And this would be a signature win for your boy. Cut off my dick for a Super Bowl variable.
If they don't have a practice all week and he beats the Steelers on Sunday, is that one of the more remarkable wins you've ever seen? No practice all week? Like, listen, football coaches value practice like you and me value lunch. Like it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Right. It's a big fucking deal.
Especially when you're playing a good football team. When you're playing a bad team.
I don't value it that much. Honestly, I never did when I worked in the league. I was like, God, you guys make too big a deal about practice. Just we got the play, we got the Jimmies and the Joes, coach, scheme them up, and we'll be good.
The good thing
is they freak out about practice. Yeah. You know why? And in fairness to them, because Andy would say, well, I get all these ideas Monday, Tuesday. And then I run them, those ideas, against the looks I think I'm going to get. And then I get a look to go, well, that's actually not going to work. Or, oh, damn, we got something here. Or, that didn't work, but this might work. So it's like the learn by doing Cal Poly. You need practice to see if the game plan's going to work. That's why most players with good coaches go, the game plan was sound. Because they run it all in practice against the team's looks. And they go, this shit's going to work.
Yeah.
And that's why when you have a great coach, you go, fucking Kyle, Andy, Peyton, Belichick, they told me to do this shit, and it always works. You stand there, you catch it. You stand there, you break up the end around. You stand there, you do that. And that's the only way I think coaches go, that's how I feel good about my game plan. Yeah. My game plan for Monday, Tuesday, I mean, it doesn't really mean that much, right? It gets changed. How often have stories come out about Brady and Josh McDaniels? You know, they sat down Saturday night and they made that one tweak.
I'll tell you the story I heard about the Bears game when Foles came in. You know that last touchdown he threw to Miller or whatever the guy's name is? I'm not sure what that guy's name is.
The game winner. Yeah, second round pick a couple years ago. Good player.
So the story I heard is they get into the huddle. Foles had...
I want to call him Andre, but that's the point guard.
No. Foles had twice against cover zero. Foles had twice tried to audible. And the second he said anything... the Falcons came out of whatever look they were in. Like, they immediately
like they could tell his audible or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know if they knew what he was going to do, but the second he said anything, they bailed on whatever they were going to do. So they have some play where I guess the audible is danger, danger, which just means it's a cover zero. The receivers, I think it maybe was trips left or something, they just run away from the man. They just try to run across the field away from the man defense. It's just kind of just a...
You're in man defense, you try to outrun
your
guy.
You
try
to outrun your guy. So Foles...
Football, sometimes when you hear these stories, you're like, guys,
well, this is a great story. So Foles gets in the huddle and he goes, the last two, if they're in cover zero here, so he predicts the defense. He goes, if I go danger, danger, snap it on the second danger. Because the last two times I tried to audible out of cover zero, they changed their defense before the snap. So if we snap it on the second danger, they won't be able to change their defense. And then he turns to Miller and he says, if we get the danger, danger, and we get the snap off, just
go.
Just run to the L in the ATL in the end zone. Just run to the L. I'm not going to have enough time to wait for you to get open. I'm just going to have to get rid of the ball. I'm just going to throw it to the L. Wait, just run to the L. So he goes, danger, danger.
Cover zero, they're blitzing. So he just blitzing, knows.
So he knows enough time. Man. And you saw, if you go back and watch the play, he didn't have
hit as he throws.
Didn't have another millisecond. And where does Miller?
His arm doesn't even hit his body.
His arm doesn't follow through all the way. And Miller slides and catches it on the L. Like, that's pretty badass right there.
There's no chance on God's green earth that Mitch Trubisky pulls that off.
Right.
Correct?
And that's why, yeah. Yeah. So.
You know, the crazy part when you hear a story like that, you realize, God, these plays are just like trying to sprint away from man. It's not that complicated.
It's backyard football sometimes.
It is complicated in the sense of you got to know they're bringing pressure, right. Run to a spot. That's where the football, like, that's pretty incredible. Like, Nick Foles, I'm telling you, man, I think he's one of the truly great sports characters. Great might be the wrong word.
No, it's not.
Characters.
It's not wrong.
Uniquely great characters we've ever had. It'll never be duplicated, guy.
Because the story is
great.
If
that was his best Bear moment, like, that was insane. Yeah. He came in out of the pen. They're getting their ass kicked, and he pulls out three touchdowns in the fourth quarter of a guy that just was just the backup. And you'd said on the podcast before, and I'd heard, and Nagy admitted this. It wasn't like they didn't have a plan. He just like, this is not working. Yeah. Fuck it, Mitch, you're out.
Yeah.
And you'd heard Nick wasn't even, no expectation.
The hook was a little
in,
quick.
Right?
They just like, whoa. But I understand why they did it, right? They had to do something. And now they're 3-0 instead of 2-1.
But he's thrown multiple touchdowns to Jimmy Graham. I just think I'm telling you, I'm okay betting on them because their quarterback situation was so shitty. Their talent on their team is, they got receivers. They're good. Their defense is good.
Yeah.
Their defense is good. Now, I've heard the Colts are solid too.
Yeah.
The one thing I was talking to some guys with the Bears is like, Rivers, I know his numbers have been good, but he's like, he's like Brees. He's looking old, man.
I'm with you. I think the Colts are, I know they're 2-1, whatever. I don't love them from what I've seen, but anyway.
I did see as newly YouTubers when Ian Rapsheet tweeted or Garofolo that Pittman Jr. had like some weird calf injury and had to get surgery
Sunday
night. Did
you go straight to his page?
Well, no, all the responses were like, man, I'm pissed. I love his YouTube. Man, I'm pissed. I love his YouTube. I think his YouTube is clearly really popular.
I think he had like 97,000 right before the draft, and I think it's up to over 200,000 now. It's him and his girlfriend that have the YouTube page. So,
and it's just them kind of doing
whatever
shit at home, right?
So
I like that guy. I'm rooting for Michael Pittman Jr.
All right. On that note, Godspeed, everybody.
Adios. Have fun at the baseball game, guy.
Thanks, John. Watch it. I know you will.
I will. See ya.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.